And joining us now via the Revel Wireless Hotline is Rob Rang from CBSSports.com and the Sports Exchange. He's a draft analyst extraordinaire. And Rob, thank you, first of all, for taking some time to be part of the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's talk about your latest mock draft, which was posted earlier this week on CBSSports.com. And you have the Browns at number 6 taking Deion Jordan. I know you've made some adjustments. You've had D. Milner there, at least at one point, the Alabama cornerback. But now you go with the Oregon defensive end. Give me your thinking behind that.
Well, obviously, with the Cleveland Browns addressing some of their concerns in the secondary via free agency, and obviously they have also addressed some concerns about their pass rush through free agency as well, I think that the Cleveland has put themselves in a position to take the best available player. And while I don't necessarily believe that Deion Jordan is the best available player, he certainly is the best available athlete. 6'6", 245 pounds. He is a guy who is a terror off the edge, as well as has the fluidity to be able to drop back into coverage. I think that versatility makes a great deal of sense for Cleveland as they adjust to Ray Horton's 3-4 defense.
Yeah, versatility is the key word, because you look at a Desmond Bryant, his ability to play inside or outside. You look at a Paul Kruger, his ability to be an outside linebacker, which he was for the Ravens, but put his hand down whenever he's needed, and he's got the size to do that, but also the athleticism to drop in coverage. And that seems to be the signature on Deion Jordan, that's the kind of player he is. And when you think of Ray Horton, it's all about mixing and matching those fronts.
No, it really is. And that's the thing. I mean, Paul Kruger obviously made himself a lot of money with his performance down the stretch for the Baltimore Ravens, including in the Super Bowl. But at the same time, while at Utah in college, he was, as you mentioned, a 4-3 defensive end. He is a guy that is used to putting his hand down on the ground, and he is a very physical, instinctive football player. Deion Jordan isn't quite as physical, but is incredibly athletic. And that's where I think that the two would make an interesting complement to each other and be able to come in and make a significant impact in Cleveland in day one.
Yeah, just because this team has been so aggressive in the free agent market with defense, that's really been the predominant theme of what they've done in their biggest spending. Those first three free agent signings of Kruger, of Bryant, and of Quinton Groves, a linebacker that had been with Arizona. Signing those guys does not mean that the draft and the fact that they've added a couple of corners in free agency as well does not mean the draft suddenly becomes a place where they can't deal with defense.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that when you just take into consideration the fact that you have the head coach that you have in Chudzinski, you have the offensive coordinator you have in North Turner, obviously you have a great deal of experience in the offensive side of the football. I believe that the Cleveland Browns already have the tools in place to be highly successful on the offensive side, and they've got a great deal of talent in the defense. But clearly that has been their focus in free agency, and I think that what they're doing here is it's allowing them to take the best available player, again, in the draft. And that, of course, is the philosophy that every club is looking to do. Cleveland has just been able to actually do that, and I believe that you'll see that happen on draft day.
Rob Rang is joining us from CBSSports.com. He's a draft analyst there. You also can see his great work on the Sports Exchange as well. So let's talk about D. Milner, the cornerback from Alabama. At one point, you had him available to the Browns, and you said you're thinking behind doing the change here with Deion Jordan at that sixth spot for Cleveland is based somewhat on the fact that they have gone after a couple of corners in free agency. But D. Milner is a special player, and the fact that you now have him going second overall to Jacksonville, is why, in your mind, is his stock elevating like that?
Well, it's just the fact that he is in the opinion of not only my own opinion, but also in the opinion of every talent evaluator I've spoken with in the league and other media draft analysts out there. D. Milner is clearly the top cornerback in this draft class. He has the size. He has the athleticism, as he demonstrated in workouts. He certainly has the physicality you're looking for to be able to play at a high level in the NFL immediately. The fact that he's coming from Alabama with Nick Saban, of course, a former defensive backs coach, Browns fans certainly know that. You know, he is a guy that is going to be able to come in and play immediately at a high level. And because of that, in this year's draft class, where there are so few plug-and-play players, I think that's just going to push his stock up that much higher. Now, there is very good depth in the defensive backfield, cornerback and safety. And so I do believe that you could see several corners available who are going to be available in the second and third round and be able to come in and play. But at the same time, not at the level that Dee Milner is going to play. And so, frankly, I'd be surprised if Milner's still on the board at number six overall to Cleveland. If he is available, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Browns select him at that spot.
Well, I was going to say, I know there's always different opinions about mocks. That's what this is all about. And three of your CBSSports.com colleagues who posted updated mocks this week as well, Dane Brugler and Pat Kerwin and Pete Prisco, all have, those three have Dee Milner going to Cleveland at number six. You're the only one who has Deion Jordan there going there, and it's interesting, Brugler and Kerwin have Jordan going second overall to Jacksonville. So opinions are kind of all over the board, except that I think the common thing is that both of these guys are seen as top six talent players.
No, exactly, and that's kind of the overriding theme is this year's draft class, again, because of the fact that it is lacking in those so-called skill position players, then you're going to see a number of players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and those offensive tackles, Luke Jokel from Texas A&M, Eric Fisher from Central Michigan specifically, that are going to be a part of most people's top six, top seven draft boards, just because of the fact they are considered to be pro-ready, where, again, some of the skill position players in this year's draft class are not necessarily as such. Now, Deion Jordan, I'm not quite as high on as a 4-3 defensive end. He played that at times while at Oregon, and that's what my cohorts at CBSSports.com are projecting him as a Leo defensive end and Gus Bradley's 4-3 defense in Jacksonville. I certainly acknowledge that he has the size that Gus Bradley has preferred at that Leo defensive end position. But at the same time, I really think you're taking away what he does best, and that is that versatility, the ability to drop back into coverage. That's something he's not going to be asked to do a great deal as a defensive end in the 4-3 alignment.
Now, the other picks that you've made in this mock, and again, I know this is all subject to change and probably will change on a weekly basis between now and the draft on April 25th, but Luke Jokel is your top overall, the Texas A&M tackle to the Chiefs. We mentioned Milner going to Jacksonville for you with the second pick, and then Sharif Floyd, the big defensive tackle from Florida, going to the Raiders at number three. I'm impressed with this guy, and this is yet another player who would be interesting as an interesting fit, perhaps, to a team like the Browns, again, looking for that line help.
Oh, certainly. If Sharif Floyd is available to the Browns at number six, I think that they would take him over Dee Milner, over Deion Jordan. I mean, he is a guy that has been successful in the 4-3 as well as some of the 3-4 alignments that the former Florida defensive coordinator Dan Quinn used there. He is a guy that, because of the fact that he was played as a defensive end 2 years ago and then moved inside a defensive tackle this past year, he didn't produce the statistics that a lot of people expected of a player that might be drafted in the top 3 to 5 picks. But at the same time, you could see that he is a player on the rise. This is a guy who is going to become a better NFL player than he ever was in college. There is a great deal of excitement about his athleticism, about his size, and about his work ethic. So in my opinion, he is one of the safest players in this draft class, certainly is the safest of the defensive linemen. He is a guy that continues to move up and up or higher on the board as the draft approaches. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him wind up number three overall to the Oakland Raiders, or even earlier than that, possibly number one overall to Kansas City Chiefs.
We're on the Revel Wireless Hotline with Rob Rang from CBSSports.com and the Sports Exchange. And, Rob, the quarterback discussion in this draft, very interesting, probably a big reason why things are kind of all over the lot with, as you mentioned earlier, no definitive guy at the top and no real definitive 1, 2, 3, 4 guys. I mean, it's some talented players who, if they fit the need, and the team and most teams drafting this high have multiple needs. But on the quarterback side, this is interesting because of all the of the mocks that I see here, there are Geno Smith is the first quarterback off the board for you, for Dane Brugler, and also for Pat Kerwin. Now, you and Kerwin have him going to the Eagles with the fourth pick, and Brugler has him going off the board to the Raiders with the third pick. So somewhere around there, and I know you're monitoring all these guys. You were at Matt Barkley's Pro Day on Wednesday. at USC, so you got a good look at him. Now, Geno Smith had a great pro day as well, and I guess that's the reason why you're as excited about him as you are to have him going fourth overall.
Well, I just see a quarterback that has the elite traits that you're looking for. He's got plenty of arm strength. He's got the mobility. He's got size. He's been highly successful against pro-style defenses throughout his career. He's made strides every year of his career. I mean, through 42 touchdowns and six interceptions. I don't care if you're throwing against air. You know, I mean, obviously he would struggle to throw interceptions against air, but at the same time, that's a high degree of success. So there is a great deal of upside about Geno Smith that I think a lot of clubs are excited about. And I specifically think the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly, obviously the offensive guru that he is, and his success is, obviously well-known while with the Oregon Ducks. I really think that Geno Smith fits in well with that offense. I don't believe that Nick Foles, more of a traditional drop-back passer who was drafted by the Eagles last year under Andy Reid, that he makes a great deal of sense. I know the Eagles are saying that he can fit. I disagree with that significantly and think that the Eagles certainly can't rely on the beaten-down Michael Vick at this point in his career. So whether it's a guy like Geno Smith at number four overall, or whether the Eagles wait until the early second round and go with a player like E.J. Manuel from Florida State, I do believe that the Philadelphia Eagles will find themselves a dual-threat quarterback in this year's draft. And there's not a lot of players that fit that mold in this year's draft class. There is essentially three. There is Geno Smith from West Virginia, who I think will be long off the board if the Eagles are to wait in the second round. E.J. Manuel from Florida State, who would be a little bit of a roll of the dice if he was going to be available to them at the top of the second. And then Matt Scott from Arizona, who really only has 1 year as a starting quarterback. Now, the interesting thing about Matt Scott is that the fact that he did play in the Pac-12, and of course, Chip Kelly, having successfully guided Oregon the last several years, he's going to know Matt Scott better than most clubs would.
Yeah, I would think so as well, having that connection. And Matt Barkley, you were at his workout. I know North Turner, you said you had a chance to visit with the Browns offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach to get some thoughts on Barkley. What was your feel in that regard?
Well, I thought that Matt Barkley had a strong pro day. It wasn't a dynamic workout. You know, I've had an opportunity to watch a lot of quarterback workouts over the years. Ever since the NFL opened their doors to select media in 2007 and allowed them to come in and watch the quarterback and receiver drills at the combine, I've been one of the fortunate few that's been able to watch each of those workouts. And so Matt Barkley was certainly among the better performances that I've seen, but it wasn't as good as Andrew Luck last year. It wasn't as good as the workout I saw Sam Bradford have in 2010 in Oklahoma. But it was strong enough, in my opinion, to absolutely solidify his stock as a first-round player. This is a guy that's 47 career starts at USC in a pro-style offense. So regardless of how good or poor he was, his pro day isn't going to significantly change his stock. But at the same time, considering the fact that he ended his career on the shelf with a shoulder injury, you know, it was important that he proved that he was healthy and that he could make every NFL pass, as he had demonstrated throughout his career. And he certainly did so. He showed accuracy to all levels of the field. He's a much better deep ball thrower than a lot of people out there want to give him credit for. He's also very accurate on the move. So those are two of the traits that I think are going to lead to his success on the NFL, especially in a West Coast offense similar to the one he used at USC. Now, I'm higher on Matt Barkley, admittedly so, than a lot of people are. But, you know, in my experience, when it comes to projecting quarterbacks to the NFL, then I think that the three most underrated elements in grading quarterbacks are what I call the three A's, and that is accuracy, anticipation, and awareness. In my opinion, while Matt Barkley does not have elite physical traits, he is the best in those three A's. Again, accuracy, awareness, and anticipation, and that's why he's going to be a first-round quarterback, and I believe he'll be successful in the NFL.
Let me ask you this. Any chance at all that you see the Browns drafting a quarterback in the number six slot? And if not there, do you see, because they obviously just picked up Jason Campbell via free agency, do you see them addressing quarterback at all in the draft?
You know, I would be surprised to see them take a quarterback in the first round. At the same time, you know, obviously you have a new regime in Cleveland, and so there is a possibility. At the same time, you know, I really think that this year's draft class, there is a number of players that might be available on that third day of the draft that do have legitimate upside that warrants selection and try and develop them. When you have a starter quarterback like Brandon Whedon, who's a little bit older than you might like, but at the same time, demonstrated all the physical traits that you're looking for, and I was impressed by his guttiness in that, you know, last season. And I was not as high on Brandon Whedon coming out of Oklahoma State as a lot of people were. So frankly, I believe that the Eagle, or excuse me, that the Browns can build around him, and they have the talent to do so. So I would be surprised, but at the same time, we've all seen the way things work in today's NFL. If you aren't immediately successful at the quarterback position, there's always going to be someone who believes they can find somebody better on draft day.
No doubt about that. Rob, thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
He is Rob Rang. He joins us via the Revel Wireless Hotline from CBSSports.com, from the Sports Exchange. Check out his great work there, an outstanding draft analyst. And we've got much more coming up for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.